This podcast is intended for mature audiences.
It also contains two British people talking about sex.
Hey, Chris here. So a few times early on in this show, we got the name of a magazine wrong, and it's quite key to this episode. So every time we did get it wrong, you'll hear... And now we'll cut in the correct name instead, just so you're aware. All right, on with the show.
It's all right. I caught a button, but it didn't stop the recording.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Cold open.
Hello.
Hello. And welcome back to T-Bags and Joysticks. I'm Si.
And I'm Chris. This is Indeed. A kinky video game podcast. How are you doing?
It is. How did I mess it? One day I will get it consistent. One day I will get... it's been a while.
This is episode 56. Just a reminder.
Are you sure you want to commit to that number? Are you sure you want to commit to that being the number?
Yes. It is definitely episode 56.
Okay, the reason I say this, listeners, is you would not believe how many times we have a discussion in the background going, oh yeah, we need to record that episode and it's going to be this particular number, only to get to through the edit stage, go to save it, and realize that actually we're about three numbers away from where we thought we were.
Nah, I've literally just saved the file name as 56, so...
You've cheated and looked at the files, haven't you?
I saved before I record now.
Yeah. Cheater! But no, it has been a while. Life has been absolutely manic, and tis the season, Chris.
Yes, yeah. Season for lots of food, lots of games, lots of drinking, lots of family.
Can we just leave a few of those out and just be done?
Yeah.
I really can't be bothered drinking that much this year, and I really can't be bothered, like... Well, I wasn't meant to be seeing family this year, and then a volcano in Iceland decided that it wanted to become incredibly active.
It might. We don't know for certain, but yeah, it is definitely spewing some shit out.
I would call over 100 earthquakes in a 24-hour period quite active.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's messed up my travel plans because I can't afford to get stranded even.
No, that's fair enough. There's always another time.
There is always another time. But, yeah, that's, like, I'm guessing that's going to be my tea for this week. An Icelandic volcano has ruined my holiday plans.
Okay, Wayne, that's not... Yeah, that is some tea, some hot tea.
I mean, literally.
Yeah, don't drink it.
Yeah. that doesn't tend to end well. So, I mean, I've jumped the gun a little bit there, Chris, so why don't we see what's your tea this week?
Fair enough. My tea, it's that... Okay, it wasn't to do with my recent checkup at the sexual health clinic. But, yeah, as I was leaving the sexual health clinic after a prep checkup, the doctor... That's a goodbye sign off. He just said in a very cheery voice, "Safe sex, see you next time." I was like, what?
Okay.
No one said that to me that way before.
So wait, is this the same doctor that actually did your appointment?
Yeah.
I mean, so, honestly, you know, I'm not mad at it.
He also knows that the all kinds of sexual activities that I have got up to since the last time I had been in there. And then he...
So he took one look at you
and goodbye to me.
This guy needs reminding.
Safe sex. See you next time. Okay. Right.
But I mean, I'm not mad at it. I kind of like it.
It was just... odd. I walked out like, did he say that? It was also a new one. It was also a new doctor I've not seen before.
All right.
Yeah.
No, I'm not mad. I kind of like it. I might pinch that. In fact, no, can we mop that for like the closing of the show?
Okay, can we do can we say kinky sex? See you next time instead.
Let's see what we come out with when we get there. See what works. I'm not mad at it. I like it.
That was my weird experience at the health clinic. The rest of it was pretty simple, apart from that particular moment, and the doctor was relatively direct, which is fine. I don't mind.
I don't mind direct. I find it kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
Especially when you get some doctors that are just like, they're almost afraid to talk about things, and it's just like, do you do this?
No, by direct, I just meant he went straight to the point without like any chit-chat, without any small talk to start you off, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't mind that sometimes. No, especially if I'm in a rush.
Right. Yeah, it's all right. So that's my tea. Safe sex.
Fair enough. Okay, cool. However, that's not what we're talking about today, is it, Chris?
No, we're not.
Do you know what we're talking about today?
I'm a bit confused. Something about animals.
Something about animals. Okay. I mean, you're not wrong, but still. So we're talking about, you know of the magazine called The Advocate.
I do, yes.
So this was about a month ago, a post on Instagram went back to when Advocate apparently invented certain terminology within the LGBT community.
Okay.
Including, but not limited to, bears, pussycats, gazelles, and marmosets.
Surely The Advocate didn't invent the term bears.
The claim is they invented it. I think it was probably around for a little while before they just put a definition on paper.
Right. I refuse to believe that the bear terminology didn't come organically.
I mean, I'm just going to leave all the innuendos in that sentence right there.
Sure, that works for me.
But I thought it would be interesting. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of these.
Okay.
I thought it would be interesting to have a wander through these and see what we thought.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, see how whether we think that these still apply as a subculture.
Yeah, I wonder how many of them would seem a bit offensive.
I mean, this is from the 1970s, just on the turn of the 1980s, so,
right.
We will see.
Okay. We'll see.
So I'm going to start with one that I think we should both know well.
Yeah.
In theory.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with bears.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go through the other animals, and we're going to see how many of them we think still exist.
Okay.
And whether we can kind of either relate to or think of, like, how this can relate to some personalities that you might encounter.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, bears are simple, right? We are hopefully, like, most of you know what bears are.
We will see what The Advocate has to say. So they open up with the following paragraph about bears.
Okay.
Bears are usually hunky, chunky types reminiscent of railroad engineers and former football greats. They have larger chests and bellies than average, and notably muscular legs. Some Italian-American bears, however, are leaner and smaller. It's attitude that makes a bear.
Oh, is it attitude that makes a bear?
Right?
Also, by football players, I assume they meant American ones?
I'm guessing so, because it's from an American magazine.
Yeah.
I'm going to point out as well, this was published in July
26,
1979.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so when it's making pop culture references, just bear that in mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So far, I'm not mad.
No, that's.
Although okay. I think the fact that it focuses particular on Italian American bears being somewhat leaner is a little bit odd.
Yeah.
Like, why are we just singling out a single group? But okay. So far it's, like, apart from that bit of weirdness, I'm not mad so far.
Yeah. Like, admittedly, I don't know a lot about, like, Italian Americans, so. But I don't see why they in particular would be leaner.
Right? I don't see why he's calling them out in particular, but fair enough. Okay, so the next section is general characteristics.
Okay.
Hairy,
yeah.
No, literally, it's a one-word sentence. Hair. Their tangled beards often present no discernible place to insert a comb. Laughter. Bears laugh a lot and are generally good-natured. They make wonderful companions since they are prone to reach for the check, buy the next round, and keep abreast of when the Trocadero is dancing this season. Their good humour can turn threatening if you attempt to cruise their trick, and you will hear about it for weeks afterwards.
To cruise their trick?
Mm-hmm. Do we need a definition gallery here?
What does that mean?
So, to cruise somebody's trick is to flirt with somebody's, like, the person that they're with or the person that they're pursuing for the night. Right,
okay. Okay, that kind of trick. Okay.
So, like, you could describe you as my trick.
Yep. Okay.
I mean, I don't know about reaching for the check in this economy, but no, like
definitely not. I don't expect any particular group to be, you know, paying for anything in particular apart from sugar daddies. Then, you know, that's different.
True. That's kind of, and if you would like to apply, please send your applications to tbnjsci at tbnjpodcast.com. I'm sorry, I couldn't help that one.
No, you're good.
And for all you fin subs out there, be a good boy and send your tributes.
Okay.
I'm teasing. No, but I'm sure. Hairy, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm just going to kind of surmise the laughter, etc., as good natured. Which, yeah. I mean, bears tend to be portrayed that way.
Yeah. It's
the last bit that's kind of making me raise an eyebrow. Their good humour can turn threatening if you attempt to cruise their trick and you will hear about it for weeks afterwards. And it's weird, like, on the one hand, no. Like, you know, if someone tries to cruise you, I'm going to sit back and enjoy watching it happen. But on the other hand... Well.
Yeah.
I know plenty of bears that are just about that bitchy.
What are they implying? That bears are...
territorial, I guess?
Hmm.
I feel like that's like toxic masculinity, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure I like that.
I don't know. I mean, let me be clear. I don't like it as a generalized descriptor. I don't know. I think it's kind of... You know when people go, oh, it's a product of its time? I kind of feel like it's that.
It's like I don't think of bears as being toxically masculine. I don't think that is the right adjective, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. I don't know. I don't think it's a prerequisite.
Yeah, I don't think there is any correlation between bears and toxic masculinity.
Yeah, although I do think there might be some correlation between some of the traits of toxic masculinity and some of the characteristics that get applied to bears.
Like,
does that make sense?
Like, how so? Yeah. How
so, like, most of the bears I know, I wouldn't describe as being toxically masculine.
Okay.
But I feel like sometimes the the way that people get kind of lumped into being a bear and the expectations that end up on people because of it can be?
I don't know. I feel like bears are more cuddly than toxic masculinity. You know, I kind of think of them as the other way around. Like, oh, bears are nice, bears are adorable.
Okay, so now I wonder if this, like, how would you describe me? Would you say I'm a bear?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if maybe this is a perspective thing.
Okay.
And maybe, like, I see a little bit more of this amongst other bears.
Fair enough.
Whereas you don't necessarily see it because you see it from that guise of liking bears and...
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
I don't know. Well, okay. Listeners,
let us know. So we found the first bit that we dispute. So the next section is what they eat.
What they eat?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It doesn't appear that ass is on the menu, just so that we're aware.
Okay. Okay, that's going to do a lot of detail.
I know, right?
I don't think bears has a particular diet. Okay.
Well,
let's see what they say.
Beer is their favourite food.
Okay.
When they stay out past their hibernation time on weeknights, their lower bear nature takes over and they drink more scotch and water than is good for them. And they will often perform hilariously, trying to dance in time to the disco beat, providing amusement for all around.
Okay.
Now, I like a good scotch.
That's fair enough. Okay, so bears like to drink. Okay. That's fine. Okay. I wouldn't define that as a diet, personally.
I mean, I agree, but I can only read what's in the article here.
Yeah, but I disagree with the article on that it's a diet.
No, but I would say a lot of the bears that we know drink quite a bit.
Yes.
So it's not a million miles away.
Yeah, and yeah, okay. Beer.
And I like a good beer dance. You know, I like a good dance.
And beers is kind of the stereotypical drink for bears.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm not mad at it. Let's put it that way.
Yep. Okay. What's next?
Should we move on? Okay. So, this will be fun. Mating peculiarities.
Oh.
Before asking you home, bears ascertain that you will stay and cuddle all night, even if nothing happens. They may wear full leather at all times, but bears are usually not kinky. They are fascinated by nipples, others as well as their own, and spend hours playing with them. Bears always have lovers to whom they are loyal, even though they don't sleep together anymore.
I mean, there are a lot of kinky bears.
I don't know a single bear that isn't.
I'm sure they exist.
I'm sure they do, just not in the circles that I move in.
Yeah. But the bears that I know, yeah, they do seem to like nipples. They do seem to like playing with nips.
So here's the thing. It says they're not kinky.
Mm.
But then in the next breath goes they're obsessed with nipples.
Yeah, nipple right. Play. Yeah.
I'm not so sure.
Define kinky then.
Right?
Mm. Okay.
I have to disagree with that one.
I will disagree with any particular group that says, oh, this group is not kinky.
Mm-hmm. Although, I do like it when a guy comes around and he's chill, like you might do something, you might not sort of thing. And he's just like, hey, you know, we're in it for the cuddles and anything that happens is a bonus after that. Like, yeah, sure. I'm chill with that.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. All right, that's a... not quite for that one. What's next?
Well, no, before we move on, like, there's one element of that we didn't talk about.
Okay.
Which is bears always have lovers to whom they are loyal, even if they don't sleep together much anymore. And I kind of think that one's true. Like, just about every bearish guy I know And maybe this is just because of the circles I move in, but just about every bearish guy I know is, it can be like, oh yeah, like we used to sleep together, but we don't anymore. But it's chill. He's a nice guy.
Yeah. I like to think most kinky guys are like that, though, because we move in very tiny circles.
Yeah.
And everyone has pretty much slept with everyone.
Well, I was going to say we move in tiny circles around the nipples, but yeah. Should we move on?
Yeah.
So, natural habitat. Bears are fascinated by motorcycle runs, possibly because it provides an excuse to keep a can of beer in their paw at all times. Although titillated by the motorcycle mystique, they prefer to let other woodland creatures ride in competitions. And as for fixing a disabled bike, they wouldn't know a clutch cable from a zippered pocket.
Oh my god. Okay. Don't drink and drive, first of all.
Yes, agreed. But in this example, they're not. They're on the edge of the riding area.
I don't know.
See, I'm biased here because you know how badly I want my motorcycle.
I do, but I don't think that limits to the bears.
No, I don't. I don't actually know many bears that ride.
Yeah. I think that's more... more a Leatherman thing.
Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of this is kind of more a Leatherman thing.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, a lot of bearish... illustrations or, you know, art do tend to portray them in leather a lot.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's one definition left.
Mm-hmm.
Domestic rating.
Okay.
Bears are wonderful around the house, since they don't need much exercise to keep their distinctive shape and are extremely loving, loyal, and dependable. The most affable of pets, they do require constant reassurance and, like some large dogs, tend to shed on the furniture. So, Chris, I have to ask you, as the partner of a bear...
Some of it seems okay. I mean, don't require a lot of maintenance to maintain their shape.
Yep. They don't need a lot of exercise to keep their distinctive shape, are extremely loving, loyal, and dependable. The most affable of pets.
I'm not sure.
But they require constant reassurance.
I'm not sure that's a compliment.
I don't think any of that's a compliment.
Yeah. Require constant reassurance.
I don't know, do I?
I mean, everyone can do with some reassurance.
This is very true. Like some large dogs, they tend to shed on the furniture.
What the fuck does that mean?
So, I'm sorry. This one I have to agree with.
Well, you just take off your clothes like and just dump them on your sofa or something.
Is that having recently had to unclog my sink because of how much hair had come off my body, we shed.
Yeah, okay.
So that was the definition of a bear, according to The Advocate. Specifically, according to George Mazet.
Okay.
Who wrote the article.
Yep. Yep.
How do we think it managed it?
About 3.5 stars. Out of five.
Fair enough. Should we see what other ones there are?
Yeah, let's try the next one.
Let's try the next one. Okie doke. So, I don't think we're going to do all of them. I think we'll end up doing three of them, because I'm just looking at the time, okay? Mm-hmm. We can always come back for the others, because I'm quite enjoying this.
Yeah, this is fun.
So I'm going to let you choose the next one. Pussycats, gazelles, owls, cygnet swans, or marmosets?
I don't know what gazelles could be. Let's do gazelles.
You want to do gazelles?
Yeah. I don't think I've heard of anyone describe any modern gays as gazelles.
Any modern gays as gazelles?
Well, like post-2000 gays. I don't know. Whatever.
Oh, good. So I will warn you, some of this has language that may not be considered accurate anymore.
Okay. By accurate, do you mean just non-PC?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on how you interpret the particular sentence.
Fair enough. Okay. Be warned.
Gazelles be warned. Exactly, right? Gazelles are basically warm, heart-of-gold types who temper their personalities with a business-like approach to love, life, and the pursuit of happiness. They are probably the best adjusted of the gay animals. The gazelle's parents know he's gay and join him at the disco or wherever the gazelle exhibits his madcap personality that weekend. The gazelle's mother often adopts her offspring's speech patterns and mannerisms. She will also smoke pot, bitch, and dish with all the gazelle's friends in their living room and get very risque about their sex lives. Though ectomorphic, gazelles sometimes like to play bear and ride competition at motorcycle runs. They often win many of the main events. Gazelles live for love and will serve margarine at dinner without thinking about it.
So, what's ectomorphic?
Ectomorphic, it's to do with body shape. I think, if I remember rightly, ectomorphic is kind of triangular-ish.
Right. So, are we describing jocks?
I'm kind of reading it as jock, yeah. But without the football side.
Yeah. Okay. Kind of your, I don't know, trophy boy type.
I'm reading trophy boy. I'm reading sort of very self-assured gay that came out when they were like 4 years old and have always been that way, and their entire life is that, you know?
Yeah, seems that way.
Maybe I'm projecting a little bit here, but
I don't know, yeah.
So, should we have a look at general characteristics?
Yeah.
Gazelles play their stereos too loud, smoke way too many cigarettes, take incredible amounts of drugs, and never seem to be stoned. If you drop in on Saturday afternoon, the gazelle and his lover, usually a closet bear, running around in shorts, drinking red wine gallo, while the lover gets stuff organized for a garage sale. Gazelles are always moving. And now the more I read this, the more I'm actually envisioning a few people that we know.
Okay. I'm kind of getting there.
I'm not going to name names, but there's particular people I have in mind.
Maybe.
I definitely know this kind of guy. Like, sorry, I do.
Yeah.
What they eat? Because this just kind of, yep.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Frozen foods, sliced white bread, canned peas enlivened with cardamom, braised celery, and Sara Lee.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what they eat?
I think if you were to sort of modernize this slightly, you would put things like sliced ham, sliced cheese, charcuterie boards on these.
I mean, I'm sure back in 1979 they already had sliced ham and sliced cheese.
I'm sure they did, but I feel like it would be a more modern reference than some of what's in here. No one really eats Sara Lee anymore, or at least not over here.
I don't know what that is.
I think it was a form of spreadable cheese. I think it's the equivalent of Dairy Lee.
Oh, it's like, okay, like Philadelphia.
Yeah. Mating peculiarities. If a gazelle has a lover, He is still having sex with him. If he has an ex-lover, he is still having sex with him.
Yeah. I could see that going that way, yeah.
Some of our friends are starting to feel very attacked right now.
Yeah. The ones that fuck everything that moves, yeah.
Natural habitat? Planet Earth, West Hollywood. Also known as GAY London or Canal Street, Manchester.
Yeah. Yeah.
Domestic rating. Gazelles are always having a running battle with the... I'm going to go with a derogatory term for a lesbian upstairs. Because it's very clear that the way that the language is used there is not favourable.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't go with that.
See, there's a few people I can think of that, yeah, this all...
Sure,
this is a pretty good and accurate description for some people I can think of.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of people listening to this right now going, I know that gay.
Probably. Probably. And now you know, someone's invented a term for that.
It's basically an older twink, right?
Yeah.
I feel like it's an older twink. It's like post-twunk. Twink, twunk, gazelle.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I got it wrong initially. Yeah, it's not quite that trophy boy that I was thinking of.
So, shall we have a look at one more before we close out the episode? Although there are more, so I think we'll do a part two of this as well.
Yeah, one more will be fine for now, I think.
Yep. So, I quite like this one.
All right.
Or at least, I like the drawing that goes with this one.
No, okay.
Okay.
That works really well for an audio podcast.
I know, but still. So for the audience, this one is owls, and it is an owl in a hammock with rather voluptuous bosom for some reason.
Okay. Why not?
I don't know. But apparently owls are older gay animals. Though sarcastic at times, they love everyone and everyone loves them.
Okay.
They are the survivors of the fabulous 50s, when gays were being hounded to death, yet they never stopped laughing or camping it up. They've earned their stripes. It's just unfortunate that they insist on wearing them with plaids. Male owls are mostly engaged in keeping camp alive. They never use the pronouns he, him, or his, unless referring to a close lesbian friend. Female owls retire from business at an early age to live at a beach where they sell early American antiques.
Do these exist anymore?
Well,
Who can afford to retire early these days?
Well, yeah, there is that. Although, you know, dual income, no children.
Yeah, still.
And this was also published in 1987.
Oh, sure, I know.
So it's worth pointing out here that one of the reasons why we might be sitting here going, does this still exist anymore, is that we lost a generation of owls.
Well, yeah, so but even...
there is that.
Even so, like, who can afford to do these things to retire early?
Okay, retire early, maybe not, but I would say I know my fair share of... Older queens. Yeah, let's go with that. Older queens on the scenes that are... They're an interesting bunch, and I would say camp is definitely alive with them.
Yeah,
I love them, don't get me wrong. Like, there is no shade here at all. Let's have a look at general characteristics. So they've got... they are usually... shall we say, round in shape. They wear outlandish clothes and jewellery. Their pants are too tight. Their bikini is microscopic. Male owls leave their shirts open to the navel and fill the exposed area with as much tangled gold chain.
Right.
With much tangled gold chain. Try saying that after a few beers. The females often buy smart outfits at Bloomingdale's, but always show up in sweatshirts and blue nylon windbreakers. I don't know so much about this one. I would say that most of the guys that I know I'd consider owls are on the slender side.
Fair. Are they? I don't know. I think they come in all shapes and sizes, to be honest. Sure, okay, I do know people who kind of, you know, wear that kind of thing. Like, as you have just described, yeah. Wear the kind of outfit that you have just described. Sure. It's difficult to quantify. For me, this is... Yeah.
So what we're saying is there might be something to this, just maybe the fashion has changed. What they eat. Usually something that's been ruined because everyone got so drunk they forgot to watch dinner. And diet pills.
What? What's that supposed to mean?
I think it's a bit of a veiled... Well, it's not even veiled, let's be frank. Dig at people wanting to lose weight and also just not paying any attention to what they eat.
But what does it mean by something that's ruined?
As in, basically, they left it in the oven too long.
Oh. Okay, then. Not sure about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one either. This article's a little bit shady in places.
Oh, yeah.
Mating peculiarities.
I think there may be a reason these other than bears have not stuck around. Yeah.
Right? Mating peculiarities. The male owl has a lover of 25 years who is both business partner and sister. He also has some astounding, very derogatory term for people of colour, who comes by periodically for a tryst while the lover watches, hidden in the closet. Female owls tend to be less promiscuous but are known to fight viciously whoever burned the croutons. That's uncomfortable reading.
Okay, I don't like this. What?
Yeah, let's be clear here. I did not read all of these in full, and the language that's used there is not okay.
Okay then. Like, don't get me wrong. I know. You know, times change, and yeah, there's the whole thing of the like euphemism treadmill, but still.
I mean,
still, it's not about that though, is it?
I'd say that's a little bit, even for the euphemism, like that's, let's be clear with our listeners, we've had to restart reading that single sentence 3 times.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm just gonna go there and go... It seems like the writer is maybe having a dig at the daddy-son thing and being very, very out of line as they do so.
Yeah, probably. And also, it seems to me that the whole gay racism stereotype was creeping in those states.
I would argue that that is far more than just creeping in. Well, yeah, that's okay. Not okay.
No.
Sorry, Sunshine. I'm just going to say that I hope you have updated your views on these things, George Mazet, because that's not okay.
Okay. Well, okay. What do we make of that? This is.
I mean, so there's one more section left. That section, I'm just going to kind of go, we're not touching that one, I don't think. Okay. The last, there's 2 sections left, but I'm just going to read them together because literally one is a single line. Natural habitat, bar stools, beach houses. Wait, what? Okay, no, that's a complete sentence, apparently. Okay, natural habitat. Bar stools, beach houses. Owls exhibit a preference for overstated decor. Males choose black velvet on gold wallpaper for the stairway. Females upholster everything in vibrant blue and red plastics, then photograph it. Domestic rating? Very high. They love the nest and keep the bar well stocked.
Okay, let's just say the indoor decoration sense have kind of changed quite a lot over these years. Seriously, who has black and gold velvet all over the house?
I mean, not velvet, but I kind of like black and gold as a colour scheme.
Sure, if you want to look like, I don't know, the Citadel at the end of time.
I'm not saying I'd have an entire room that way. I mean more like, you know, black furniture with gold accent type of thing. Have something else on everything else.
Sure, okay, yeah, have some black and gold. That's that's not a problem. Sure.
But basically this is the homely gay, or at least it's... Well, just apart from them, what they've put under the mating peculiarities, because...
Yeah, I'm not sure I've come across a lot of people who fits this description.
I can think of one or... You see, I said at the start I could think of one or two people that we knew that kind of fit it. And that was before I'd read it in full, and now I'm going, like, no. Like, aspects of this, but no.
Yeah, exactly. No. Yeah, there are some people who are, like, bits of it, of it. The full package? No, I don't think so. Not really.
Okay. Well, on that uncomfortable note, shall we pause there, and we can always have a look at the rest of them and see just how uncomfortable they make us next time.
Oh, yeah, I hope... Yeah, I hope
hopefully
it doesn't...
they're better than that last one.
Yeah, I hope the first it doesn't two get were much right. worse than this.
Fair enough. So, let's move forward, Chris.
Yes, let's do that.
For the people that aren't aware, because they may have missed an episode, and they may think that it's all over at this point, the writers and actors are technically off strike at the moment, but they have not actually finalised their contract terms just yet. I thought until a few days ago they were completely finished with it. They're not. They're still holding the vote right now.
That's fair.
Or at least at time of recording.
Yeah, because it will be still a few days before this comes out.
Exactly.
But for now, we'll hold this off to another time.
Yeah, we will put out a mini episode, I think. Or it might end up being the length of a full episode with how much we've missed. But
yeah, it'll be very long. let's face it.
In the interest of solidarity. What's on your joysticks, Chris?
On my joystick, I have been playing two games on the same series. They're called Coffee Talk. Yeah, so they're the Coffee Talk series. The first game is just Coffee Talk, and the second game, Coffee Talk Episode 2, Hibiscus and Butterfly.
Okay, I'm guessing that's like the DLC and they're being clever with the naming convention. Or is it like a straight sequel and they're being clever with it?
No, it's an actual sequel.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're kind of a bit like a visual novel game. There are a lot of dialogue. The premise is basically you're a coffee shop owner in Seattle, Washington, and for some reason your coffee shop only opens at night. So yeah, all sorts of people come into your coffee shop, you talk to them, makes friends with them, and basically they have various orders and you have to make their drinks, basically.
Okay.
But the important thing is these people in Seattle, Washington, it is set in a world where there are also elves, dwarves, werewolves, vampires, etc. These kind of and aliens, like all living in this world just harmoniously, and people still go to work, like orcs use computers, there's a mermaid game developer, so this
wait,
is
the no,
kind
wait,
of
wait no wait no I'm sorry hold on there's a mermaid
yes
on land
yes
with a fin and tail.
We don't see their bottom, but there are fins, yeah.
You see where I'm going with this,
yes,
right?
Yes, I see where you're going. But
okay.
Apparently, according to them, it's really difficult for mermaids to get a visa to enter the USA.
I mean, I'd believe it.
But yeah, essentially, you make drinks. If you make the correct drinks, you influence their story in a positive way.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, I would,
it sounds like a pretty chill game, to
it
be
is,
honest.
It is very chill. I would say it that the first game is better than the second one.
Okay. Is that because the first game is a better deployment of a concept, or just because it's more original?
It's just better written.
Fair enough.
Yeah, the story's just better written. In the second game, you still have a lot of the same characters who comes back.
Mm-hmm.
But for some of them, their stories are kind of done, and they felt a bit samey.
Right, I see. I see.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be honest, it doesn't sound like the kind of game I will end up picking up.
No, that's not surprising.
But it also sounds, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like it's got that, I don't know what you would call it. The game that did it most recently that I know of is Day of the Diver, where you have the people coming in and you've got the orders to make, etc.
No, it's nothing like Day of the Diver.
Okay, no, I don't mean, Day of the Diver's got so much more to it as well, but it's got that section where you've got the people coming, you've got to get their order right, etc. There's that kind of gameplay, and I don't know what you call it.
The restaurant management bit is completely different, yeah, in Dave the Diver. Because in Dave the Diver, you say, okay, we're only going to serve these things tonight, and the chef just makes it. There's not actually a food making bit in Dave the Diver.
Okay, right, fair enough. Is there in this?
There is. Well, right. You select the ingredients to order, which is how it's different to Dave the Diver, in my opinion. Like, it's,
yeah.
Yeah.
But my general point is, like, those kind of games where you're doing the order thing doesn't tend to work for me. And I don't doubt it's an interesting narrative around it, but it doesn't seem to grab my attention.
To be honest, the gameplay is kind of minimal. You're mostly just reading the story.
Okay. It strikes me as one of those that I'd enjoy watching somebody play.
I would argue you're basically mostly watching. It's, you make,
all right, fair enough.
You make three drinks in a day at most, pretty much.
Okay. Is it a good chill-out game then?
It is chill-out, definitely.
Fair enough.
Yeah, also, I just put a note out there that the creator of the first game, his name is Mohamed Fahmy. He actually passed away before the publishing of the second game. So,
oh no.
Yeah. That's.
Oh no. Damn. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. I mean, condolences to the family and, damn, that's always a hard one.
Yeah, exactly. There is a nice touch at the end of a second game. But that would be a bit of a spoiler. But hey, there is a bit of a nice touch there.
Fair enough.
So that's what I've been playing. What's on your joystick?
So I've been mostly playing mobile games.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of sort of what's new. Because honestly, I've been in a busy period again. But I've been playing... basically, there's three, and I'm going to touch on them very, very quickly on a round robin. So I reinstalled Cookie Clicker because I... I installed Cookie Clicker because I discovered that there is an Android app for it.
Oh, God.
And the reason... like, I like Cookie Clicker. I used to play it, but then my PC crashed and I lost all my progress.
Oh.
So now I've discovered that there's an Android version and you can save your progress to your Android account. So that's been interesting, rebuilding that. It's interesting seeing what made the transfer and what didn't, because there's some upgrades and things that didn't make the transfer. The other one I've been playing is... I think it's literally got the most generic game name in the world. And how I managed to find it, now I'm looking at this, I do not know.
Okay.
But it's called the Tower Idle Tower Defense.
I know.
Which is neither an idle game... nor a traditional tower defense game.
What? So, what's it called?
The Tower Idle Tower Defense. There's okay. No idle component to it.
And it's not a tower defense.
It's not tower defense in the way that I traditionally think of tower defense.
Okay.
So if you say tower defense to me, I traditionally think of you have enemies coming down a path,
yeah,
or down a route. They may have some pathfinding to take slight alternates.
Yeah.
And you have to set up traps and things along said path to stop them getting to the tower.
Yeah.
What drew me to this was the visual. Because the visual is old-fashioned Asteroids. As in the arcade game.
Oh, right, okay.
As in, like, old-fashioned Asteroids, right?
I see. I was like, an Asteroid's an Asteroid. There's nothing on an Asteroid. How is there an old-fashioned Asteroid? What are you talking about?
But then, the gameplay is that, like, your tower is in the middle as everything's coming towards you, but it turns and shoots automatically. And the tactic part of it is you have to plan your upgrades properly to make sure that you're shooting with enough damage, you're shooting fast enough, etc.
Mm-hmm.
There's a currency you can gain to get permanent upgrades as you go. There are a couple of microtransactions in there to get rid of ads, etc.
Fair enough.
I've only taken the one that makes it ad-free.
Yep.
I've quite enjoyed it as just a little bit of a sort of, I can mess around with this for half an hour or whatever when I'm waiting for something or traveling somewhere.
Fair.
But it really does have the most generic title in the world.
I mean, it still sounds mostly like a tower defense, right?
I mean, yes, but it's like it's not what I think of when I think classic tower defense.
No, fair enough. I mean, they have tower defenses have been done quite a lot, so yeah, that's fair. They have put some kind of twist.
And then the final one that I've been sort of messing around with, and I've literally only had this install for a day or so, is Vampire Survivors, which seems to be getting a bit of a cult following. Yeah. So it's been released on, I know it's on Xbox, I think it's on PC, it's definitely on Switch and mobile. And it's been an interesting little, like... sometimes you may manage to jump on your gaming device and you just want to do something that's relatively simple while you chat with people. And it's a very good game for that kind of thing.
Okay.
Alternatively, on mobile, it's a nice kind of pick up and play game, put it back down once you're done, sort of on a commute kind of thing.
That's fair. Yeah, there is space for those kind of games for sure. I have seen a lot of Vampire Survivors popping up on my YouTube feed, but I never actually clicked on any of them to see what it's about.
Weird. it sort of came out of nowhere for me, and it seems to have a bit of a cult following.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of videos being made about that game, so I don't know. Might have to have a look at what it's all about.
I'd say it's worth dropping a couple of pounds on if you've got that sort of inclination. I'd say watch a bit of the gameplay first and just check it's the kind of gameplay you're okay with. It's very much a sort of single stick.
Yeah. I also have like a couple of big RPGs that I want to play in the near future, so that would take up a lot of time, as you know how RPGs are.
Oh, yeah. I don't doubt at some point we're going to end up with a RPG in this slot rather than a video game.
No, I don't mean tabletop RPG, I mean computer RPG.
Oh, wow. Okay, both of them then. Fair enough. But yeah, I think that's all for today.
Yeah, that should be it. So stay tuned for the second part of these gay animals.
Assuming that they're not that bad as the last one that we read, because I might just veto that if it is.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, we've been a little bit slack with it recently, Chris, but we're going to be getting back to it. So where can people find us on socials? Because it's all changed.
Yes, you can find us on socials at TBNJ Podcast. You'll find all our links, tbnjpodcast.com/links, and our website, tbnjpodcast.com.
Indeed. And if people want to email us directly, you can do so now. tbnjsci or tbnjchris at tbnjpodcast.com, and we will get the email.
Yay!
Yeah.
Looking forward to your emails. Like, I don't know. Do you have anything else that you called your gay friends? I don't know. Other than, I don't know.
We should put it up on the poll for our Spotify listeners, because we can't do it for our other listeners. But for our Spotify listeners, we should put up a poll asking if they recognize anyone from those stereotypes.
Well, yeah, that sounds good.
I mean, the bears is the obvious one, so we'll ask about the other two.
Everyone knows a bear.
I mean, anyone who's listening to the podcast is listening to a bear right now, so. But for now, I have been Si.
And I've been Chris.
Thank you very much for listening, and we shall catch you later.
Yep.
Bye. Bye.
This episode is edited by TBNJ Chris. Our soundboard comprises royalty-free audio. The opening and ending music is called A Conundrum by DOAK. Thank you for listening to Teabags and Joysticks.
Sorry, not Esquire. The Advocate. Where did I get this quiet from?
Just say advocates like a few times over and I'll put them in the dumbest.
Advocate. 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 The advocate. The advocate. The advocate. The advocate. Advocate. What? 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 Advocate.
Oh my god. Okay.
I feel like a really shit take on David Tennant. Advocate. Advocate. Advocate.